Let's pray. Oh, good and gracious God, we thank you that these young people, that they are light to this world, they are salt to this earth, and that they have cheered our hearts and our minds so that we too may bless this world with mercy and kindness and peace. Amen. We have had 3 weeks before this, and this is our final week of a series called Meaningful. And I know that it succeeded, because how could you not succeed with making your life meaningful if we just say it's going to be meaningful, right? Right. I can see that we don't know that. But what we do hope is that we talked about families, that we talked about families, that the things that you can do as a family to build your faith is not only what you do at home, but what we do together as the family of God, and what we do to make this place welcoming. We hope that it makes their faith walk, all of your faith walk, more meaningful by being welcomed by this church, by this group of people, no matter what day of the week it is. And we hope that the more people get involved in groups, small groups, music groups, study groups, that it helps nourish your faith and teach us and makes us more, our life more meaningful, both in what we learn, but also in relationships. And now I just want to say thank you for coming to week 4. The topic is leadership. And there was, I must confess, just a little bit of worry that people would not show up for this topic. I mean, after all, I thought, this is how I imagined it. Whew. No matter which one of them is going to stand up and preach, they're just going to tell us to start leading. We have a Sunday school class that needs you to do this. We have a rock pile that needs to be done. We have a this and we have a that. We want you to lead the cause. And you stayed. You came and you haven't bolted yet. Thank you. Appreciate that. First, let's look at some of the images that we have seen in the last several weeks in our meaningful life together. Remember the family faces that we have of moments where we see not only our own families, but the families that we have as we come together as the family of God here at Christ our Shepherd. And then some of you were such great sports, you went into our virtual photo booth, and you were so happy to put on hats or all kinds of little flowers and things to let us see how happy and fun it is to be part of the family of God at this church. And if you go to the next slide, you see three women on the left and a Sunday school class on the right. And some of you may actually realize that the three women in the left are three Pats in hats. They were so cute to let me take and put them all in hats and take a picture of them. Wonderful. And a welcoming place we are to all ages, to everyone, young and old. And welcoming in just all the people that can come, that even come back after several years. And then we last week talked about meaningful groups of grace. This group today has been a meaningful group of grace, as well as leading us in worship. And so when we talk about that, we've talked about the ones who are get together for Sunday school and divide up in groups and talk with each other, are the group leaders that met last week to be celebrated and to be thanked for leading small groups, the specific ministry of the gift group ministry, are the ones who lead worship, whether the choirs and music here or whether it is the choir and music and bands in there. You see the one person standing and talking, what you don't see is the group of people listening, and that's a ministry had a speaker come talk, and all the different programs and ministries that Stephen ministers do for this congregation to be so appreciative of, and the group ministry that they do. And then we have a group that went on a retreat, and which brings us then to this day. Meaningful leadership. Leadership that sets the pace. What kind of pace are we aiming to set this that we have? I don't know if any of you have read much in children's books recently or even long time ago, but there was a book of poems called If I Were in Charge of the World. Anybody familiar with that poem and with that book? It's delightful, Judith and Forrest. And so, like, the gist of this particular point is, if I were in charge of the world, imagine yourself as a third grader, and all of a sudden you could be in charge. If I were in charge of the world, we could eat ice cream for breakfast. If I were in charge of the world, nobody would get in trouble. If I were in charge of the world, it would be okay if I laughed so hard that I fell out of my chair and I wouldn't get in trouble. David and I got called to our second child's second grade teacher one afternoon to say, "Did you know that your son laughed so hard he fell out of the chair today?" Oh, gosh. So we know those things. But did he get in trouble? That teacher was pretty cool. This week, Fritz saw me with a large stack about, "Huh, so this is where you're going to leave me today in the sermon?" I said, "Fritz, it's just there's so much." I asked him, "How many books about leadership have you read, just even on church leadership?" And he said, "A lot." And I said, "I know that I've read at least 20 of them just on church leadership." And then you toss on other leadership books, anything to try to be a better leader. I had a seminary professor who walked in one day, put his briefcase on the table, looked out, first day of class, looked out over the class. And he asked for a response, and he said, "How many of you believe that Superman can fly without his cape?" So, how many of you believe that Superman can fly without his cape? Raise your hand. Oh, you guys are the most adventuresome group so far. But still, the hands going up did not win. So what he did was, in that group, that was the same way, he opened up his briefcase, buttoned his top button, pulled out a necktie, flipped up his collars, put the necktie on, straightened it out, flipped it down, and said, "Now, I suspect you will listen to me teach you. Does the uniform make the leader? Does putting on a stole and sticking a collar around my neck make me a better preacher? Or whatever, or hopefully one day will make me a better preacher? Does this or that, does the uniform on a pilot make the pilot fly better? What are the things that make a good leader?" Because you know this world has a whole lot of people leading. Let's see what some of the books say. Some of the books will come up with the list of top 10, the list of top 5, the list of top 25, the list of top 61, one of them had, of what will make a great leader. And if you look up Forbes, Fortune 500, and look up the leaders that are designated every year, they say who are the most powerful people in the world. And then you also look at who are the greatest leaders in the world. They do these lists. And many times, the ones who are the most powerful, like there was only one crossover that was on the top 10 list of most powerful people, was also on the list of the top 10 greatest leader. And that was Bill and Linda Gates, the only one that crossed over and was on both. But listen to what some of the books say. Build relationships, collaborate, encourage communication, make things happen. Do the right thing, make the difficult decisions, reward successes. And there was also one that as they wrote about that particular one, reward successes and discipline those who do not succeed. Prepare to win, achieve results, and make sure you're the one out in front. That's one leadership book. Another leadership book, similar things, integrity, know your stuff, care for your people, expect positive results. Put duty before self. Show uncommon commitment. Clear expectations. And again, a comment. Make sure you're the one out in front. Inspire optimism. Be genuine. Practice confidence. Communicate. Decide things and stick to them. Lead by example with purpose. Proud of who you are and confident in others. Inspire confidence in others. Another one in their list said, make sure not only that you're the one out front, make sure that you're not only the one that rewards successes, but if you have dead weight, make sure you cut the dead weight off and do it quickly. Leaders. What makes a good leader? What kind of leader is Jesus calling us to be? And why would we put that little thing, sentence under ours to say, is God calling you to be a leader? If I'd been you reading the title, I might have worried what might come out of the sermon and what might be talked to me about. But let me talk about what Jesus says. Did you notice in the Gospel, chapter 20 of Matthew, that it says, Jesus got 10 of the disciples together. Not 12. 10 of the disciples together to settle them down. What did they need to be settled down about? It's a wonderful sentence because it brings us right into the drama of one of the days in Jesus' life. 10 of the disciples were mad at 2 of the disciples. See, what had been happening before chapter 20 is that in chapter 20 earlier, is this was the third time that Jesus had told his closest friends, his closest followers, that it was time for him to come into his kingdom. He had already, since about chapter 9, had his face set toward Jerusalem, which was kind of a cue word to say he knew where his end was going to be. And for him, he knew that that end meant the conquering of death and so much more that we did not understand as humans. But he knew. But how it registered in some of his disciples' minds was coming into his power, his kingdom. If you're a young person who has grown up and you know that the family business is not one that's going to make your family the most money, it's not going to put you up in the upper levels of leadership, it's not going to do any of that, but then there's this guy comes and he's setting up a new day. And this new day, he's going to have a new kingdom. And he calls you to walk with him. That's what he did to these guys. Caused them to walk with him. Some of them had professions that might be lucrative. Most of them did not. But to walk with a guy that was going to come into his kingdom. So it is no wonder that 2 of them thought, since they gave up everything for him, that if it's getting close, we better tell him what our wishes are. We better tell him, we want to be your number 2 and your number 1 guy. Make us your VP. Make us the person who's controlling this part of the company or whatever it is, or this part of the movement or whatever it is. In other words, lift them up to the beyond Jesus, the highest points of power. That's how we see leadership so many times, the one who has the power. And so Jesus said, you can almost hear the edge in his voice of both hurt and disappointment and frustration. You know how rulers of the world do. You know how the evil rulers do. They get a little bit of power, and it goes to their heads. I'm going to take one quick chasing of a rabbit, so to speak. When I was in the Arkansas-Oklahoma Synod and worked with the Synod office, that meant that I worked with whoever was the bishop, worked with a couple of bishops. And when a bishop would come in, is that you could watch the pattern of how hard that first year was. And it was going to be a telling year. Within the first year of a bishop, you're going to kind of see what path that leader is going to go. And some of them really do let the power go to their head. Pray for Bishop Strickland that he will be one that will be the kind of leader that God calls all of us to be. For you see, all of us have influence. Like the salt, when it seasons something, it has influence. When there's light and it is turned on, it begins to show things around you that aren't seen without that light. It's influencing the space, the people, the situation. It's influencing that. And the other way he talks about leaders is not only like influence of salt and light and what that can do, but also, don't let it go to your head, but do this. Serve people. If you want to be first, be a slave. If you want to be the lead, be the last. To be the leader that God wants all of us to be, it is to step back and think of others before yourself. Step back and see what good you can bring to the situation. To be the one that is caring for the whole, a servant leader. So in other words, it doesn't automatically mean you teach a Sunday school class or lead a campaign or do something. It might. I'll tell you about a leader once. David and I, years ago, we were two of the adults of several adults who took a group of about 26 or 27 young high schoolers to Dallas, Texas for the National Youth Gathering, where there were 35,000 other youth. And this guy, I do not know how we talked him into coming with us. Just a nice guy, never taught a Sunday school class, wasn't on church council, didn't do that, or did not have the spotlight around him, none of that. You wouldn't say, and Wayne is one of those great leaders of the church. Wasn't Wayne. He was a good guy, and two of his kids were on this trip, and so he said, Wayne, why don't you come with us? Well, you know, it turned out he was the best leader of us all. He didn't set out to be. What he set out to do was to love the kids and to help them. Now, in a group of 35,000 that get out of a convention center all at the same time to get to their next destination, how easy is it for a group of 27 plus the adults to stay together? Wayne had the answer. He asked the hotel for a broom, took the stick off. We've got him a couple of cheap pom-poms. And then he had a rubber duck. I just have a facsimile thereof. And he put it on the pole, and Wayne was the leader. Poor ducky. That ducky was much more endurable. In other words, Wayne needed to be leading this, not me. Anyway, you do get the point. Out in front, we followed. We knew where he was. And we knew he was taking care of all of us in the best way he could. Was he ever on council? No. Did he ever do this or never do that? But he was that kind of leader. Look at some of the leaders, this kind of leader that we have in this congregation. There's some in the church council. And then we have some that sing and lead in worship like our young people did this morning. You see, some of you guys are up there. And then we have people that are confirmed or just are here helping one another and cheering each other up. And then we have, a group that goes on a mission trip. Or another group that on Wednesdays helps clean up. And then this is something else that happened this Wednesday. This Wednesday, we had three of the guys, not all of the guys that work in the cross ministry, but three that came and taught the high schoolers how to make those crosses. If you haven't had a cross before, they're right down below as you go out in the first floor if you go out that way. And so they came to help teach the high schoolers how to do it. So they brought their little kiln. They taught them how to do it. They brought hammers and pokes and all those kind of things that they could do. Little did I know on Wednesday when these three, not that they would call themselves leaders, but led the high school that night, teaching them about that ministry. Little did I know the next day that there was going to be an example of it. David and I, for those that might not know who I'm married to, it's David, and that's the David I keep referring to, and that's the David that's over there that's leading the kids. So wave your hand, David. Yeah, okay, thank you. All right, just in case you didn't put those two together. All right, we've kind of been in an up-and-down roller coaster over selling one house since we've moved to a one level. This week was an epitome of that. And so I won't tell you the whole story, but it kind of sums up quickly like this. Last Sunday, we knew that we had the floor that needed to be repaired because the refrigerator had leaked at the old house and made the buckle of the floor. And then we had a person come in to do it. And then we got a text message from that person coming to fix the floor that said, oh, how do you turn on your electricity? The electricity was off because the EMC had come and taken out the meter of the EMC. And then we didn't have the electricity. So we had to go to the EMC, and then we had to go to the city, and then we had to do this and that. So... floor is still not fixed, but boy, did we meet a great electrician. He went to EMC and, as he said three times to me, pleaded your case. So the end result is, by the end of Thursday night, we had, at the old house, electricity. So I said to the guy, I said, why don't you come by the church and let me pay you right now today? He said, okay, where are you? So he came by the church, rang that at the door because other people were gone, came in. I wrote him. I said, how much? He said, $300. I said, gladly. $300 was so much better than $3,000. Took it and went out to his truck. little bit later, I hear the beep at the door downstairs. I was in my office, came out. I knew it was probably him, that he'd forgotten something. I let him in. And he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out his keys. He said, and he pointed to the box downstairs that has the crosses in it. He says, does your church do this ministry? I said, yeah, that's us. He said, about a year and a half ago, my father was very ill, and he was in rehab. He did not pass away. We were worried that he was going to. But he shared a room with a man who obviously was from this church, I guess, is what he said. Because this man was probably, he said, I think he was going to die that day. In reality, he died the following day. He said, but this guy, everybody that came in the room, he said, let me give you a cross. He called me over, gave me a cross, and he said, take this one to your dad over there. Let me give you a cross. He said, I've never seen anything like it. He said, I knew he was close to dying. And when I was in that room, I felt his kindness. Little piece of metal, a cross. Here, let me give you a cross. Sometimes you don't know even the small things that you do, the influence that you have, and how you touch others. But it is a choice. Whether you choose to take on that spirit of serving. And you see, and I know that you guys are not ones that are going to put your light under a bushel, which I never understood that text, because every time as a child that I saw, would anybody ever put their candle under a bushel? Because if they put it under a bushel, it would just light a bigger fire. But that's what went through my mind. So, you know, all those things a child would think, I still think it, obviously. But anyway, is that you don't let your salt go bad. You don't let it get trampled. I see the salt that you are and the light that you are. Thank you for that. And thanks be to God.